Welcome to Bevington Banter, the show where we can sound like we're arguing even when we all agree. I'm Cassidy, and together with my brother Cade and dad Randy, each week we discuss a selection of news stories, topics surrounding the culture, and matters of freedom and faith. Thanks for listening. Follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Share it, and if you like what you hear, rate it 5 stars on Apple and Spotify. We thought we should at least address the fact that we're recording this Thursday, September 28th, that yesterday there was a GOP presidential primary debate. However, I didn't watch it because I was doing a youth thing.
And they're worthless. But, the end.
And, yeah, from what I heard, basically, it was a disaster. The moderators were bad. Everyone just talked over themselves the whole time. And nobody really came out looking great.
I want a debate with... I will not watch a debate until it's a debate with three people. Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis, Vivek Ramaswamy.
Yeah,
that's it.
I didn't watch it. I've heard a lot of clips from it today, and it just bolsters what I always think of debates. We've probably said before, maybe at one time there was validity to this type of debate, but there is no longer because these people are out in the media every day. You can hear them. You can hear them being interviewed. You can hear them doing podcasts. I mean, they're everywhere. This is not necessary. And to have seven of them is ridiculous. Yes, three at the most. But even then, I can see maybe the presidential debate with two individuals standing there that have clearly been nominated to run for this position and the two of them having a debate. But this is just absurd. And I thought about this too. If Donald Trump would have walked onto the stage last night with those seven other people, as much as I like a couple of them, he would have just made them all look so small.
Yeah,
because that's just where we're at.
Won. He excels in that kind of situation.
Well, I just mean his presence.
Yeah.
You put those seven guys out on the stage, six men and one woman out on the stage, 10 minutes in, have Donald Trump walk out onto the stage, and the rest of them just disappear.
That's a fantastic tactic. If they would let him do that, you like don't even announce that he's going to be there. And the best thing is you'd have to like make Nikki Haley scoot over because he's obviously going to be in the middle. They have to bring out a whole nother podium. So and, like you let them talk for a little bit and then you just walk out and everyone goes berserk.
Yeah. And I say that not even as an endorsement. That's not an endorsement of Donald Trump.
I don't like him either, but that'd be awesome. But
that's
that would
what would happen.
Great,
that's the reality of the situation, the moment that we're in. I when all the chattering was going on, it would be so hard for me to not just say, I'm out of here.
Why wouldn't you just leave?
This is honestly
pointless.
If someone would have done that, they would have won.
That's
what
I was thinking.
Yes.
You would. When everyone was talking over each other.
I'd want a chair right next to my podium
that
I just sat down and crossed my legs until they all got done bickering. So.
I do kind of like Doug Burgum, though. Too bad he's so infinitesimal.
Somebody had the Muppet that he looks like. Did you see that picture?
Yeah. No, but I know exactly
what
you're talking about without even seeing
it.
He has the best campaign gear. There's a shirt on his website that's like looks kind of like the Jordan silhouette basketball.
Yeah.
But it's got a cowboy hat on and it's wearing like one of the boots, like you broke your foot because you broke his foot playing basketball and still showed up.
That is funny. So he has a sense of humor, or somebody in his campaign does. His logo is good. His campaign logo is good.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I.
Well, we've already exhausted that conversation.
Yeah.
So
none of us watched it.
I know.
It is true. Actually, it's like, I guess that Glenn Beck is going to be doing one of his Wednesday night or one of his coming up chalkboard discussions or whatever, and explaining why Fox News and the GOP are done. They're just done. They're just going to soon become...
Well, Fox is. Although, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with Rupert Murdoch is stepping down or whatever, but...
Yeah, but haven't his kids been running it for a while already?
I don't know. Probably.
So, I heard Glenn Beck talking to Chip Roy and saying to him that if they don't hold their ground on this budget battle... the GOP is done. And Chip Roy says, I think the same thing. If we don't, you know, get some of this under control, there's no reason for anybody to vote for us.
Unfortunately, then you are saying that we're relying on McCarthy and that's not good. That's bad.
Yeah, I don't know what he's going to do. I don't have a feel for it. I mean, obviously, he's shown that he can be convinced to go along with a, you know, what do they call them? What's the caucus? What do they call them?
With the Freedom Caucus?
Yeah, the Freedom Caucus, because they were able to strong arm him into agreeing, you know, to their concessions in order to be Speaker. So maybe they can, now he hasn't kept all of them, but maybe they can hold his feet to the fire and do it again. I don't know. But man, Chip Roy was like, Mitch McConnell, you can just go pound sand. I mean, he was really aggressive. He's like, I'm just telling you, don't even send that crap up here. We're not. I mean, he was more strong than that. We're not passing what you guys passed in the Senate.
Other things happening in Congress right now are the Biden impeachment inquiries are officially underway, which I didn't know an inquiry has formal opening statements.
Like a trial?
Because that happened today? Yeah, it said opening statements on the news chyron this morning at the gym.
Yeah, like, I mean,
inquiry?
I have a little bit of Comer's opening statement, but there's not really, he doesn't lay out any evidence. He basically just talks about what he's going to say, which is like a lawyer's opening statement.
I was going to say opening statements are not matters of evidence or fact. They are just a framing of what it is that we're going to do here. So it doesn't have to, there's no objections and all that and overrulings and that kind of stuff during opening statements. You can just get up and make your statement.
All right, I'm going to play this clip and you're going to guess is it about this impeachment or is it about the Donald Trump impeachment?
But if you have a difference of opinion, you just can't be impeaching. On the other hand, this is a fake distraction, as you said.
It's obviously about this one, because of who's speaking.
I know, it's the easiest game ever. It's Nancy Pelosi.
What's a fake distraction?
That's not even a real question.
Isn't that like a double negative?
Yeah, isn't it a distraction in and of itself?
That means it's legitimate.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it's a fake distraction, then it's real, right?
That means we're pretending to distract you with it, but
I don't
we really
Sometimes
want you
distractions
to
are
focus
real
on it.
They just take you away from the main
thing. Wait a minute. That's what
thing.
A distraction is. I don't know.
Okay, but the newest things...
I think
things...
that Nancy Pelosi just uttered a paradox. I don't think that I can...
The okay. newest things to come out, though...
Actually, real quick, to be fair, an example of fake distraction. Aliens.
Right, okay. It's a distraction, and they
that
are
That isn't
fake.
Real.
That's true.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All distractions right. are real things. They just take away from the main thing. Yeah. Anyway, the new evidence coming out in the Biden corruption thing, two things that I heard. One, I've really only heard from Ted Cruz, but apparently was reported by Iranian like news sources or something, that this Iranian influence thing. You know about this?
No. Is this have to do with the nuclear deal?
Well, it definitely helped them. So it was a bunch of leaked emails that prompted this reporting. And these are two Iranian outlets, Iran International and Semaphore. And so this one I'm reading from Iran International. It says, inside Tehran's soft war. How Iran gained influence in U.S. policy centers. And the bullet points are basically three aides of Robert Malley, who was Biden's special envoy for Iran. He was also one of the main diplomats or prominent diplomats in Obama's administration. But three of his aides were part of an Iranian government network. They called this the Iran Experts Initiative, or the IEI, and it was established by the Iranian Foreign Ministry in 2014 to extend Tehran's soft power. The IEI members simultaneously worked for top Western think tanks and gave advice to the US and Europe. And one of those three, and so this guy is who a main guy in negotiating like the Iran nuclear deal. They said one of the main pushes for the Iranian government was in expanding their nuclear abilities. he was actually put on leave in June following the suspension of his security clearance. Robert Malley was. And they haven't been clear about the exact cause. So, very well could be related, but just questions about how this can happen and what, you know, Biden knew. So one of those aides is currently, that's in the other one. So one of those guys, the Iranians who was one of Malley's aides, is currently serves in the Pentagon still. So he's still there as the chief of staff for the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Special Operations. So obviously he has security. No, that's a she, actually, has security clearance and everything. Another one of them is currently a senior advisor on the Middle East and North Africa at the International Crisis Group, which is like a Western think tank. So these people are still there and still involved in our government and advising our government. Explains a lot. Anyway, the other big one is that the documents from a $250,000 wire transfer from Chinese nationalists that was supposedly Hunter Biden's lists Joe Biden's Delaware home address as the beneficiary.
Should have used one of those pseudonyms. Should have used the Peter. What's it? Peter file.
Something Peters.
Oh, I think Peter file.
Yeah. I mean, you can go through all these individual, instances of where you see what's believed to be corruption and payoffs and all these kind of things. Do you guys
get like a 30-minute episode?
Yeah. Do you guys get the feeling though that they're trying to, that there really is a genuine concerted effort now to get rid of Biden so that he doesn't run again?
Sure. I think that's what those polls were for. As much as I see a bunch of pro-Trump people, so Trump is the only one who's bucking the idea that the poll that was released that showed Trump in front of Biden was kind of a tactic because they're starting to turn on Biden. Trump is like, no, those are real. And everybody who loves Trump are saying, no, I'm actually ahead of him, which he very well might be. But for them to all of a sudden have like an 8 or 9 point swing in a poll like that is insane.
Yeah, that was a big
to think
swing.
That it's anything other than they're done with Biden now. So even if Trump is actually ahead, think about what the reason for them, because it can't be legitimate to have swung that many points in a matter of, honestly, weeks. But Trump wants you to believe that it did because he's so popular. So he's the only one who's saying they must be legit because I'm winning.
Yeah. I mean, you're seeing it in the polling. You're seeing it in the news reporting, or even, CNN and places like that, are doing things that are, and saying things that are critical of Biden. But I think they clearly don't want him to run again because they know that he is very beatable. More and more people are voicing their opinion that he's too old or he's too much in cognitive decline, including independents and Democrats. They've got him. I didn't know this, that he now is predominantly wearing tennis shoes.
Yes.
So that he doesn't.
For better balance.
For better balance.
You don't slip.
He
I'm
only
shocked
uses
that
the
somebody
short
hasn't
stairs.
Just taken a dress shoe and put better. He's the president of the United States. I mean,
Wolf
for
and
crying
Shepherd.
Out loud, if you're trying.
Insert advertisement.
If you're trying to, cover this up, you would take a dress shoe and put an athletic sole on the bottom of it. That's ridiculous that they're not doing that. If they're not, they really just don't care. Because that wouldn't be that hard
they
to get
don't
someone
even
to
make
a shoe
do
like
it.
That.
Because there's a company
yeah.
that's all about that.
They make yeah. shoes that look like more dressy, but they're black or brown, or even have
so they're like, let's just put
wing
them
tip,
shoes.
But they're still. He's using the short stairs on the airplane.
It's like the short bus.
They have him. I guess he's been in physical therapy, occupational type therapy for balance since 2021. But here's the thing. They're definitely realize that he is very, compromised. it's going to be very difficult for him to win a reelection because he's only going to get worse. The more when he's out in public, you're only going to see him over the next year and a half. You're just going to see decline. I mean,
they must be terrified every day of what he's going to say. For crying out loud, he's a spy with dementia. He could say anything. In fact, in a meeting one time, he said, "I've sold a lot of state secrets." It's insane. They must just be so scared every time, just sweating.
And that kind of points me to my larger point. I also think it's not just that they want him to not run again because he's, you know, so beatable. The longer he stays in and the longer people dig into these events, the more people that potentially get exposed. That there are
other politicians,
other intelligence agency people, other bureaucrats are definitely have to have some connections to this, and they don't want to get exposed.
Do you think that Biden ever, in a closed door meeting with some of those people, they'll go, "Hey, listen, if you oust me, I'm going to tell everybody"?
Right.
No, probably not, because they'll kill him. They would just kill him.
The thing is, what they tell you is like, you know what? Go off, because we could allow you, and we could even actually, we could jump in on the side of getting you prosecuted. So, Joe, just shut up, take your money, go home to Delaware, and live out the rest of your life. See, that's their...
You're right, but he's insane, and he probably is going, no.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I want
maybe
some guarantees. Some guarantees if I'm going to step away that this investigation stops. And if they can't totally give him that because they're not in control of the House right now, then he probably feels like it's more advantageous for him to still be in the office.
Maybe that's how a way he protects himself by remaining in office.
He's thinking if I'm not president, then they'll just do whatever they want to me.
Yeah. At least
his family is thinking that.
Right. But again, my point from their standpoint, they want him gone because the more he's there, the longer people investigate, the more likely they are to be discovered.
Yeah. But his power is the only thing for him is because, him knowing something is not necessarily his power because if these people really are as, shadow government kind of that we're thinking that they are, they'll kill him. If he's not in office, he gets injected one night and dies in his sleep and nobody investigates it.
Yeah.
It would be a bigger deal if he was president. So that's why he probably thinks that being in the office is his best leverage.
I think that, and this is just my feeling, but I think that there are days that Hunter Biden would love to throw his dad under the bus.
I agree. You'd always think about it.
I think Hunter Biden despises his father.
I do too. Obviously.
So I wonder one day. I wonder if that day will ever come around. It would be amazing.
And then as he's getting hauled off in handcuffs, Biden, Joe would be like, "Bo would never have done this to me."
Yeah, he pulled that one here just recently. Some lady called him on something. He's like, my son died in Iraq. And yeah.
You want to see something kind of shocking?
Yeah.
Story that came out this morning. This is
obviously
not written down anywhere on our notes because nothing is really.
Accurate.
Carrie Lake is running for Senate against Kyrsten Sinema in Arizona. I could have swore that she was like basically begging to be vice president, especially after that nonsense she said about DeSantis. Remember when she was talking about DeSantis? Just like this week.
Yeah.
That seemed like a real smear campaign that was basically like reaching out to the Trump campaign saying,
she's been
please
mega,
pick me to be vice president.
She's
but
been
now
mega
she just,
on board with Trump since she lost her.
Well, she obviously... It would be insane to announce this if you had any hopes of being the vice president the vice president pick. So that's shocking to me. I would have never guessed that.
I don't know. I mean, Kyrsten Sinema is now an independent. I mean, she is liberal, but she's not a Democrat. She changed parties here a while back.
I know, but, you know, she still needs replaced. I don't know. The other thing, though, is there was already a really, really good choice that probably was going to win that race anyway. Sheriff Mark Lamb from, he got actually really famous on because his county, Pinal County, was on that live PD show. They're not anymore, but he's super conservative. I've heard a lot of interviews with him, and I really like him. He was running for Senate in that same seat. He's running for that same seat. So she's going to have to run against Lamb first. So with there already being a really good candidate and the fact that I thought that she was pulling for vice president, I'm just shocked that she announced that. It's very strange.
Speaking of Arizona politics, I don't know what this is about. I hadn't seen this, but I read it and it's savage.
You mean the fact that she's not in office anymore?
The Arizona state treasurer.
Yeah.
Who put out this memo about being the acting governor.
Yeah.
It's only for like a day. Or not even. It's like 12 hours.
Yeah, because the governor just like left, right? Left the state?
I guess. But was it planned? Like she's returning. It says mid-morning tomorrow.
Is that a thing?
So this is already over. I don't know, but
the memo is... I don't think it's over. I'm pretty sure that the...
But she released it yesterday.
Governor of Arizona is still gone.
Oh, well, I don't know. But the treasurer released this statement yesterday saying that she'd been notified she'll be serving as acting governor beginning late this evening until mid-morning tomorrow, which would be today that we're recording this.
So, wait a minute. Who are you saying is out of office now? The governor or the treasurer?
The governor.
And the why treasurer, is she out of? How is she out of office just because she leaves
left.
The state?
She left. She was going to be completely unreachable. Like, she okay. You want to know the real reason why? Because the woman's being indicted.
Okay,
I think that she's running
stepping
away.
Down. The news says
that's
she's
what,
stepping
so,
down.
So it's not that she's out of the office, meaning you can't. I can't be reached right now. I'm out of the office. Meaning she's leaving office of the
this
office.
This all says
of
it's bizarre. If you Google Arizona governor gone. It's like mysterious steps down, like she mysteriously steps down for one day. I have no idea what's going on. But regardless of that, what the state treasurer said is awesome. Should I read it?
Yeah, read it.
Okay. She said, "While I am pleased to step into this role, I will refrain from naming directors to the 13 agencies that currently have vacancies, and I will not call the Arizona legislature into session to confirm them. That being said, I do hope when the governor returns to Arizona, she will promptly name qualified directors to these important state agencies and remove the legal uncertainty that exists for all of the regulatory actions taken by the agencies. I expect to see a swift resolution to this matter so we can get back to getting the work done for Arizona taxpayers. The people of Arizona deserve leaders who follow the rule of law." Talk about passive aggressive.
So have there been... So there's been a bunch of offices that haven't been fulfilled.
Apparently,
haven't been filled.
Probably because she hasn't been doing anything. But anyway, Katie Hobbs is about to be, according to the Arizona Senate, is about to be brought up on a bunch of RICO charges, including bribery, racketeering, money laundering, drug trafficking, human trafficking,
accusations coming out.
Yeah, real estate
aiding
deals
and abetting the Sinaloa cartel,
right.
And election fraud. All of those
she's
under
as dirty
RICO.
As can be. Yeah.
Yeah. So. And this was a story that just came out of the Arizona Senate talking about this like 2 days ago, 3 days ago maybe. So
if we have all of
is
that
she
going
running?
On,
is she like on the run?
I still see
maybe
nothing.
She's in
that's
Mexico.
That's what I want to know is do
Hobbs
they have
has explained to her?
Do they have her passport? So she can't leave the country.
I don't know.
And so all this is going on, and we're supposed to believe there were no shenanigans in the Arizona gubernatorial election that she got elected to pulling a Joe Biden by not even basically campaigning and running away from reporters and hiding in bathrooms.
A lot of people are saying that she was supposed to be back like mid-morning, whatever, and she just still isn't there.
Interesting. So apparently the issue
the
with
fugitive.
The empty appointments are that the legislature is Republican And Yi, the acting governor, has apparently barred two of, like, so Katie Hobbs has appointed people, but she accused the Senate president and, like, Yi of slow rolling it. And Yi's barred two of her appointees already. And that the Republicans have the majority, so they're rejecting Hobbs' director nominations because they're probably really progressive and corrupt and just
right,
like her.
Right.
Good. I hope they never budge. That would, for like the first time in a long time, be the last time that any Republican showed, you know, that kind of spunk, unfortunately, was Mitch McConnell when Obama was president.
Hobbs apparently showed up today with President Biden at a stop in key battleground state on Thursday to announce the new federal funds being directed to build the McCain Library housed at Arizona State University.
That's so why she had to not. Today. That's why she had to not be the governor for a day.
That doesn't seem like a good reason.
That's stupid. I mean, DeSantis did like a tour all over the country. I mean, he's campaigning for president, and he did like book signings and stuff. You know what he's never done? Appoint an acting governor. Being gone for a day, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, I noticed that you said that that treasurer said that she was notified that she would be, you know, acting as the governor. Who notified her?
I have been notified. I don't know. That's what she said.
I wonder if it was the Republican assembly.
Well, 3 days ago, the internet does say that she's not been indicted, like, despite the rumors, as of 3 days ago. Hobbs, that is.
Hmm. Weird. Very weird. There's a few things I'd like to just get in the record just to get
New
the
York
information
hates
out
old
there.
People.
Yeah, well, that's one. Okay.
Well, they hated them in COVID. They put all the people infected in nursing homes.
Right.
And now they're filling the nursing homes with illegal immigrants.
Right. So the big one that's been trending on Twitter is this 95-year-old Korean veteran that was kicked out of his nursing home so they could house illegal aliens. Could you imagine that? I mean, that's just say that and listen. That sounds insane. You'd say that there's no way that could ever happen. A 95-year-old veteran.
Hey, the president of the United States is a dementia-riddled foreign agent.
That sounds less crazy to me than us kicking a veteran, a 95-year-old veteran, who is paying his bills, paying to be there, being kicked out to house illegals coming across the border.
Was it also New York? Or somewhere like a city was buying hotels and putting them in there, and then you couldn't even go in and eat at the restaurant.
Yeah, that's in New York too.
Yeah,
that's in New York.
Somebody tried to get a table, and they're like, "Sorry, you're not an illegal."
Yeah, they wouldn't even feed them in the restaurant. And I was trying to look up the numbers that New York. It's going to cost them. Eric Adams was saying, the mayor, like $3.5 billion to house the illegal aliens in the coming year. That's insane for a city like New York to pay that amount of money to house illegal aliens. I mean, how do you do that? How do you do that in a city budget? It's costing them like, what was it? I can't remember the numbers. That's why I was trying to find the story, but I couldn't find it, but like $9 million a day or something like that to house these aliens.
Why don't we send them to Canada?
Well, we have people coming across the northern border now too. Into the country. That's also a problem. We're getting like Chinese and people.
Ultimately,
like,
I don't know why I'm saying, why are you letting them in the first place is the real question. But yeah, if we're going to send them somewhere.
Yeah.
Let's send them to North Korea. Wait, never mind. That's probably cruel and inhumane. Did you hear that North Korea actually deported?
Yeah.
A defector from South Korea?
Yeah, that guy we talked about a while back who ran across the border. On a tour, he was on a tour group. He was going to get in trouble. He was an army soldier, so he darted across the border into North Korea.
They kicked him out because he crossed the border illegally. How sad, hysterical,
ironic,
whatever is that?
Yeah, even North Korea won't let you get into their country.
No, we don't need another mouth to feed.
So, what about this? Is it Bob Menendez that's getting that the Democrat senator from New Jersey?
Who had gold bars, literal gold bars in his
and 400 like apartment. Hundreds of thousands of dollars of cash.
And he's all like, I will be proven innocent.
But the funniest part about that is the Matt Gaetz clip. But it's the point that he makes that I'd rather focus in on than the corrupt, you know, senator. The point that he makes is what's really more problematic for our country.
He's using the corrupt senator as an example of how our economy is so bad, or the U.S. dollar, at least.
Yeah.
You are your record. And our record in this country right now is $33 trillion in debt, facing $2 trillion annual deficits. We're in so much debt. We're driving up deficits so fast. We are devaluing American money so rapidly that in America today, you can't even bribe Democrat senators with cash alone. You need to bring gold bars to get the job done, just so that the bribes hold value.
That is true. That's crazy.
And wasn't this guy previously indicted?
He got off on a hung jury. Like in 2013 or 15 or something.
Okay, I will say this, though. I still want to play this that I sent you the other night, because it really does make it funnier.
We are devaluing American money so rapidly that in America today, you can't even bribe Democrat senators with cash alone. You need to bring gold bars to get the job done, just so that the bribes hold value.
Why is that the inflection in his voice?
I don't know, but it is.
It's so Seinfeld. It is like,
that's the way that Seinfeld used to open his his shows, with a little bit, at the beginning of
them. I don't know who thought of that, but whoever did that, genius.
Hey, I'm going to use a Seinfeld reference when I preach on Sunday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What are you preaching on?
We're going through Acts, so I have Acts 6, She's 1 through 7.
Preaching about man hands.
No, because they neglect the Hellenist widows in the daily distribution. Yeah. So they're the Greeks, right?
Yeah.
And it makes me think of Galatians, like, neither Jew nor Greek. And then it goes on, it's the first one.
Yeah. It goes back to a point that I've made on this. Literally, when I say this, I don't know if people really get it, if it really sinks in. There is no true, real, I'm not sure what the best word to use is, money in the world. No country in the world that I know of doesn't have debt. If everybody has debt, then there is no real wealth in the world.
No, it's just governments leveraging the power that we've given them. They're the ones who make up the money.
I mean,
out of nowhere. And they're like, here's some money that doesn't exist. Give me tangible assets.
Right.
That's insane.
Well, that's the whole point with the gold. You know, because it's going to not just, as the dollar goes down in value, the gold will be worth more dollars.
Yeah, but governments to each other are always like, I'll trade you this imaginary thing for this real thing. And they go, okay.
Everybody... All these countries, us included, are holding each other's debt. We are buying one another's debt, even though we are in debt. How do we buy Japanese debt to help them finance their almost collapsing economy when we're $33 trillion in debt?
Fake.
It's all fake. It's all fake. Cassie just mentioned about Iran, how they're economy was on the verge of collapsing. China's really on the verge of collapsing. Japan, Russia, United States, all these countries. Nobody has any real money. There's nothing of real wealth other than material assets.
Social
contract.
You know who would really be doing good right now is any country who had abundant natural resources in their own country that they could, you know, start to take advantage of, especially if they haven't for, like, you know, the last few years.
We've been saving
I know what Kate is saying, and you're right. Within 2 to 3 years, I could have us as a country, by just doing a couple of, like, 4 to 6 basic things, we would be the most dominant nation on Earth by tenfold.
I'm pretty sure I read a story recently that we even found, like, a lithium deposit somewhere in, like, Montana, Wyoming kind of thing. If you just, every kind of, you know, if we would just mine all that, ourselves and harvest everything ourselves that we need and drill for oil and all that stuff that we need and didn't need anybody. Doesn't really matter what our dollar's worth.
Well, it's not even going along with that. It's not just the wealth that comes with it, the prosperity. It's the position of power it puts you into, because other countries, then they need to do business with the United States in order for them to prosper as well. And that gives you leverage. So it's just a win-win if you were to do these things. And we're doing the exact opposite. As Pat Gray is always saying, if you were going to do something, if you're going to destroy the country, what would you do differently than what we're currently doing? And the answer is nothing. We're doing exactly what you need to do to destroy the country. And one of those things is the, you know, all the Green New Deal climate stuff. And I just wanted to get this out there just to get it on the record, so to speak, I guess. I heard this recently and I looked at it. This is an Australian climate guy. And he's talking about, you know, they say that CO2 is, that's what's causing the global warming, the climate change, whatever term you want to use. It's CO2, man-made, and it's man-made, you know, being produced. And this is the reality of the situation. CO2 is 0.04% of the atmosphere. And human beings are responsible for 3% of that 0.04%. So he says it's like saying a granule of sugar on the Harbor Bridge. You got to clean up the bridge because it's dirty. It's okay. Just absurd.
This might be true, but at the same time, it is true that our, like, everything about Earth is so
delicately balanced.
Designed, yes, and delicately balanced that you don't know just how much, how little of a change like it would take to actually screw something up. But it probably sounds weird coming from me, but I guess it's kind of devil's advocate-y.
Well, here's what I would say about that. God is not surprised.
Right, he knows. I'm not going to let it happen.
Right. God is not surprised. Like, oh my gosh, in the year 2023, there's 8 billion
people.
Unless
he's ready to come back.
There's 8 billion people on the planet. He's not surprised by that. And he's not surprised, yeah, by how many cars we have.
He'd come back before we destroyed the planet.
He's the one that's going to take us out. He's not going to do it with global warming.
Can he do it soon?
Because it's called judgment.
Maybe that's his judgment.
No. The Bible tells us what judgment is going to be like.
Natural disasters.
No.
And wars.
There's always been natural disasters and wars going on.
I know, I'm kidding.
Okay. So it's absurd. It's absurd.
Oh, is my dog still outside?
Yeah, as far as I know, he was out there.
It is pouring.
Oh.
He is at a little house.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I don't know if he's smart enough to go in there.
Well, it's his problem.
We got a rubber egg the other day. First one.
A rubber egg?
A soft-shelled egg.
Whoa, what?
I went out there and it was just laying on the ground by the watering thing. It was big, but it's just soft. It's like a little rubber, it's like a little small water balloon.
What does that mean about your chicken?
It happens. I think it just wasn't baked long enough.
It might have been a chicken that laid two eggs that day, because there were five eggs that day, and maybe one of them.
Well, we're already up to six eggs today, and there was a chicken in the box.
Nice. And you've had a giant one too, a giant.
Yeah,
egg.
And we had a super small one today too, the smallest one I've seen. So that must be the first
Probably
one.
Probably came out the same chicken.
So.
Well, your newest granddaughter is the size of a Pop-Tart today. That's what my app told me.
That's flat, though. That's weird.
I know, but that's like the length. Saying, it's about the length.
There's,
also,
there's an
it compared her
on its way. That's it also the size compared of 13 her to camels
to a stick of deodorant.
Hmm.
Hey.
Or a large onion.
Yes. That's better.
Yeah.
I did like something that Ramaswamy said during the debate, that he is not for birthright citizenship. Did you hear that?
Yes.
And I completely agree with him. I mean, it's absurd that the a child of an illegal alien, if they're born here, they should be an American citizen.
Right. but if you're born of American parents, you would.
I still think you should have to pass a test.
Yeah, but then at what point? Like, you're not a citizen until you're 18 and you pass a test?
Can't vote till you're 18.
Hey, did you guys see this?
Can't really do anything till you're 18.
And what, we would just care for you because you're a minor?
Yeah.
I saw this Wall Street Apes. Do you ever see that on them on Twitter?
I've heard of them.
No.
They are reporting that it's basically confirmed that Anderson Cooper is a CIA operative.
What?
Yeah.
That's really weird, only from the standpoint that they've actually kind of been a real news source lately.
Who?
Well, that Wall Street Apes, they're...
Yeah.
They were one of the people involved in that whole GameStop thing. Remember that?
Yes.
They're making a movie about that.
They were one of the Wall Street Bets and Wall Street Apes. A lot of those guys on Reddit were who started this. He's one of them. That's weird. Anderson Cooper hides in his car when confronted about his confirmed ties to the CIA. Huh.
Yeah. But here's another
CIA
one.
Bribed and extorted him to publish certain news stories.
Yeah.
Okay, I believe it. I believe this.
I believe that.
Absolutely.
But this is our news. Forget about that. Just look at the fact that every stupid news story in broadcast is sponsored by Pfizer and Moderna and so on and so forth.
You saw it. Was it real? I heard it talked about on Pat Gray today that when they were bashing TikTok during the debate last night, that the debate was actually like one of the advertisers that said like
sponsored
brought to you
by TikTok.
TikTok.
Yeah, I heard that.
Is that real?
I guess. Why would they lie? I don't know.
I thought maybe they were telling a joke. I couldn't tell.
Why would Pat Gray lie? They tell jokes.
Tell
joke. All the time.
I thought maybe it was just a joke that went over my head.
But it might be real because none of us watched it.
TikTok sponsor. I've never seen TikTok sponsor anything, so I don't know.
They have a lot of advertising.
Do they
nowadays.
Really?
They're advertising a lot.
Huh. Here's another.
And they're trying to be all heartfelt.
Here's
TikTok
another weird one
good.
That, with the Anderson Cooper. If you want to end on, do you want to end on something weird?
Of course.
Okay, let me pull this back up.
Is it weirder than this? Is it weirder than this?
Yes. Anderson Cooper, yes.
Every mass shooting, we hear a simple message. The same message heard all over the country. And I've been to every mass shooting.
I've been
Do
to
something.
Every mass shooting.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
We got the common link.
He's apparently done every mass shooting. Is it weirder than that?
Well, I think this is weirder than that.
Okay.
So, do you know who Anderson Cooper is?
No.
Do you know,
we've only
do you
been
know the,
talking about him.
Do you know? I mean, no. Do you know the Vanderbilts?
Oh no.
He is.
I don't know. Where he came from.
His mother is Gloria Vanderbilt.
Okay.
Okay. So the Vanderbilts
That's
are like
weird.
Old school, mega old. You know, Industrial Revolution wealth. Yeah. Okay. And Anderson Cooper is gay, but they have, I guess he and his partner, whatever, they have children. Have had children
adopted
somehow.
Or surrogate, okay. Who knows?
So, this is Twitter from Shadow of Ezra. CNN anchor Anderson Cooper has revealed that his mother, Gloria Vanderbilt, offered to act as a surrogate for his son right before she died in 2019 at the age of 85.
Well, that would have killed her.
Yeah. And apparently it said everything must stay in the bloodline. One bloodline, many families.
It's not really.
That's weird.
That is weird.
It's like you get the surrogate's DNA in there, but.
Well, that's true.
That's weird.
Yeah, that wouldn't be. Just because she's the surrogate doesn't mean if
who
she
would
just
the, who
acts
would the
as
woman
a womb,
be?
That doesn't give her
who
her
would
DNA.
The woman be, though?
It's,
like, if
it's
obviously,
one bloodline because it's his.
Obviously,
yeah.
It would have to be like one of his cousins. You have to get the egg from somewhere.
Well, I don't think that she means they inbreed.
Does it not mean that?
Whoa. Okay, so I Googled DuckDuckGoat, Anderson Cooper family, and there's under the videos that pop up, the first one is titled Anderson Cooper's family was chock full of gays. And that's a quote, chock full of gays.
Is that like chock full of nuts? You can't have too many gays or you're not going to have any kids. You're not going to have a family.
He said that. Do you think, that is offensive for him to call them gays.
Do you think that the Vanderbilts were one of the families on Jekyll Island? Do you think they were on Jekyll Island?
What's Jekyll Island?
Oh, you don't know about Jekyll Island? That's a real thing. Mm. It's like an island, like in a lake or something in Georgia, where basically the idea for the Fed was created.
Okay.
There's this whole big conspiracy thing. I've heard, apparently the Tuttle twins have a book out for kids called The Monster from Jekyll Island. And it's supposed
to
be
about the Fed?
Yes. About the creation of the Fed. And how it was created by like these big, like just these few families in the United States at the time.
To control banking.
Yes.
Yeah.
I bet the Vanderbilts were there.
I don't think that's a conspiracy. That's a fact. Yeah.
No, it's, but if you were to say it like that,
yeah,
people just don't believe it.
Right.
You should read about Jekyll Island some. It's
so much,
it's crazy.
It is
a conspiracy, though.
And so much of that stuff, though, is that we have, like, the Fed and stuff are unconstitutional. That stuff was never laid out in the Constitution.
Yeah, read about it. It's there's a kid's book, but also you can find a bunch of other stuff.
A lot of people just assume. A lot of people just assume that anything that's currently going on in the federal government is just something that we were given by our founding fathers. And that couldn't be farther from the truth.
Yeah, most of it wasn't.
Yeah,
the vast majority of it.
Exactly.
Like all these cabinet positions and stuff.
Correction, it's The Creature.
Okay, The Creature from Jekyll Island is the book. But it is a real thing, and Jekyll Island is a real place. And it happened.
The Tuttle twins, they're pretty popular,
The Creature
right?
from Jekyll Island is not the Tuttle Twins book. That apparently is one for adults.
Oh.
So maybe they did call it The Monster.
Okay, maybe there's not a kid's book about it at all. I just hear Glenn Beck talking about the book The Creature from Jekyll Island. I think you're right, it is Jekyll Island.
And you just assumed that it was...
I thought it was a kid's book. No, he just talks about the Tuttle Twins all the time. I just got two ads mixed up together, all right? There's nothing to talk about. I don't want to talk about any of this
stuff.
There's
a lot of stuff to talk about, but my problem is that it's like it's the same old garbage week after week.
I'm starting to care less and less.
Yeah.
Let's talk about something else next week.
I'll be here next week, but then I'll probably be out for like 2 weeks.
We need another show about nothing. I'm so much happier when we just talk about stuff.
Well, that's kind of what I thought we would do since we didn't really have a lot of notes.
Make fun of people. No, we shouldn't
make fun of.
We could make fun of the Broncos.
Oh, yeah, we could make fun of the Broncos. 70-20. I like how Sean Payton like just came into the season just making fun of Nathaniel Hackett. And guess what Nathaniel Hackett didn't do, though? Get beat by 50 points.
By a historically bad amount.
Hey. Oh, he left me really bad. Okay, well, not that bad. You did that.
I haven't read this, but is this a kidding thing? Or is this a real thing between Ryan Day and Lou Holtz? What is going on?
No, he just commented on him after the game.
It was real.
Yeah, but now it's going back and forth.
Yes.
Oh.
It's been Lou Holtz responded again.
Here's the thing. Ryan Day has this fixation on proving that he's tough, that his team is tough. But we're not. The reason that it bothers him so much is because it's true. 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-2, we don't convert. We can't just run it up the middle and convert.
No, that has nothing to do with the toughness. That has to do with having a 230-pound back behind the quarterback and running an end-around instead. That was stupid.
He did it instead because we don't succeed.
That's not called not being tough. We get beat by teams that are more physical than us.
Okay, well, we also get beat by teams that are more physical than us. It's happened for a couple of seasons, like since he's the head coach now. He has this fixation on proving that it is almost to a fault.
There's on Facebook, there's a group called 11 Warriors.
Yeah.
And they're always posting, you know, stuff about Ohio State. And I saw on there today, it was all like, oh, that you know, drive in 85 seconds and, you know, oh, McCord come of age and they were so great. And I mean, just hundreds of these posts. And I never comment on those kinds of things, but I had to on that one because it was ridiculous. I posted, I said, Yeah, and if we would have kicked the field goal when it was 0-0, and if we could have kicked the field goal at the end of the game, and we would have been ahead 16-14, and we wouldn't have needed to have that drive to win that. Plus, we shouldn't have kicked the extra point, because if they block it and run it back, it's a tie ball game, and we paid these coaches
the
millions of dollars.
I was screaming at the TV, and the announcers came back and pointed it out after the fact, but I was like, it's 16-14 with 1 second left. The only thing the other team can do is take the kickoff back for a touchdown.
Point after attempt.
No. The only thing they can that 1 second is get the ball on the kick return and take it back for a touchdown. So the fact that you're only up by two doesn't matter. They should have lined up for two and taken a knee. Instead, they kicked the extra point, which is risky because
they still
what if
have
you
to
fumble
kick
the snap? Or no, they wouldn't. I mean, yes, they would have had to kick off regardless, but get the ball, take the snap, and take a knee, because when you do the extra point, you're risking a bad snap or you're risking a blocked extra point, and they could return it for two and tie the game. We should not have kicked that extra point at the end of the game with 1 second left. That was insane. And the fact that nobody else realized that.
Yeah.
And on all of Ohio State's coaching staff, run up to him. There was a lot of time in between there, too, because they were reviewing stuff. You got to run up to him and say, listen, take a knee. That was dumb. I just recently watched the Alabama game again. Like, in fact, it was 11 Warriors YouTube channel. They did a drive-through, so basically it was just like all the highlights of that game. It was like 46 minutes long. I will say this. For all his faults, and there are a lot of them, and we know he's super creepy now, Urban Meyer took the points.
When Jim Tressel always took the points.
Urban Meyer.
It's the new game. It's not only in college. They do this in the NFL now. It's all analytics. They go for it on fourth down. They go for two all the
time. But here's the thing about that stuff. You don't know what's going to happen later in the game.
I'm not saying I approve of it. It drives me crazy.
Okay, here's what it's like. All
the Chargers game was the same thing.
All of a sudden.
We shouldn't have been in that situation.
Yeah, all of a sudden, it's like we figured out something that 100 years of previous football didn't understand. So all of a sudden, we got smarter than 100 years of experience. I think so.
I think your only argument there would be that the rules have changed so much to favor offense.
I will say it does depend on the level of football you're into, because there was a high school coach whose theory was to always go for it. Fourth down, go for two. Always, and they crushed everyone.
Yeah, your conversion rate's probably
even when
there.
They failed. They would just
come back.
They would get two every single time. They would always go for it on fourth, and they beat.
Well, there's
everyone.
A lot of high school teams that go for two all the time because they don't have anybody that can kick a point after.
Yeah.
I mean,
your kicker is not as good.
But here's
the
thing:
defense you're playing isn't as good.
In that Notre Dame Ohio State game, this is the first thing we've been animated about all day.
Football's better than debates.
They had played virtually an entire half of football, and it was 0-0. Kick the field goal and take the points.
Yeah. I said, what are we doing?
Yeah, if the second half had gone like the first half, it's possible that that very first field goal that you decided to take were the only points in the whole
game.
Do you remember the Alabama LSU game 1 year that was this big, hyped up, like number one versus number two, and the game ended like 6-3?
Yeah.
Because the defenses were so good that all they could do was get into field goal range. You've got to kick the field goal.
At least our defense is a lot better this year.
Cade, when Marvin Harrison Jr. got his ankle rolled so bad.
Oh my gosh. I literally just texted Colton. No.
Cade, when he came out, though, when he
But then
comes
he started jogging
Cade,
on the sideline again.
He's Gumby. He's Gumby.
No, that's not what I said.
That's not exactly
Eddie Murphy line. I looked right at Dad when he started jogging around on the sideline. We're like, oh my gosh, is he fine? Did you see what his ankle did? And I just looked at Dad and went,
I don't think he was fine.
I looked at Dad
and
I went, I'm Gumby, damn it.
That deep ball, he might have, it could have slowed him down just that much that he didn't get to that one deep ball after that.
Yeah, but it looked like easily a high ankle sprain, at least.
Yeah, I know.
At least. And those take
eight weeks to come back from. But we have a bye week, so that helps.
Yeah. It's not a bye 8 weeks, though.
So who's playing on Amazon Prime tonight?
The Lions and the Packers.
It's Lions at Packers. And the Lions are favored at Green Bay for the first time since Aaron Rodgers and in all of Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre's time, unless there was backups in. But if Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre were healthy, the Lions have never been favored there.
Packers won, though, last week, right? They managed to win?
Yeah, on like an 18-point comeback because they did so bad at
like
first.
In 8 minutes.
Bad. Their first half was really bad. Yeah.
Hey, how crazy was it that, and I think it's beautiful, that the Cardinals, supposedly one of the worst teams,
beat
the Cowboys.
I know, I thought they were tanking.
It was weird.
Josh Hobbs is like, this is my chance.
Why does anybody think that Dak Prescott is an elite quarterback? I've never understood that. Oh, here's the other thing, though, about that. Chris Christie was at that game. That's why they lost. He was sitting in the box. He sits with him and Jerry are buddies.
Cheering for the Cowboys?
Yeah.
And the Cowboys got together. They got in the huddle. They're like, we're going to lose this one. Did you see Chris Christie's shot at Donald Trump calling him Donald Duck?
Yes, that was dumb. That was everything he said up to the Donald Duck line was valid. It was a decent point. But when he said Donald Duck, it was just
stupid. I actually think that if he would have called him Donald ducking the debates, that would have been better.
Ducking Donald.
Donald.
But Donald Duck, yeah.
Donald ducking the debates. That would have been funny. But then, unfortunately for him, the internet responded by renaming him Porky Pig. So he brought it on himself.
He had to see that coming.
He brought it on himself.
That was a line, though. You know, they had discussed that.
Yeah.
They wanted to use that so bad.
They probably focus grouped it. What do you think is funnier?
I have a confession to make. I realized today that I definitely have some sexist tendencies. Not that probably surprises you guys, but
I want to point out one thing real quick. If you're about to say that it's because of something that Nikki Haley did in the debate,
yes. It's worse coming from her. It makes me dislike her more than it would be a man.
You do not have sexist tendencies. It's because Nikki Haley sucks.
That's true. I mean, I don't disagree with that, but I realize that if a man said what she was saying, I wouldn't dislike them as much as it makes me dislike her.
Which one was it?
I don't. Oh. I don't know. Just she was going after Vivek a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So
the fake, like fake,
but they are, man, they are. And it was definitely listening to her and Christie and Pence and all them. It's like, yeah, man, it's like, yeah, the 80s call. They want their GOP talking points back.
Hey, how'd we end up back where we
started? Would you have respected this? Okay, listen to this statement and tell me, would you have respected this a little bit better if it was said by a man?
I am sick and tired of people who say that if you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic. And we should stand up and say, we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
What about that?
No. I would hate it just as much, but it's more grating.
So that's not sexist. So you're not sexist.
No, but it's more grating to hear her say it. It just grates on me more.
I did hear a couple clips where Nikki Haley's voice would just went up.
Yeah, it was like listening to Hillary.
Because TikTok is one of the most dangerous social media apps that we could have. And what you've got, I honestly, every time I hear you, I feel a little bit dumber for what you say.
That's irritating. That's really irritating to hear her say that. Because it's so disingenuous, because Vivek Ramaswamy is really smart.
I'm going to get into politics and I'm going to get debate. When I get more passionate, I'm going to start lowering my voice.
Whisper. Do a Joe Biden and whisper.
I'm not joking.
I get dumber.
I'm just pointing out, bottom line is, you are not sexist. Nikki Haley just sucks that bad.